Let's go back to an Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. And it's a pretty large book, should be rather easy to find. 1 Kings, chapter 19. And this is probably going to be a rather familiar story. And I'm going to start with verse number 9. And then I'm going to read through 13a. And what do you mean by A? Well, sometimes verses get real long, so they divide the verses up into A, B, C sections. So I'm just going to read the first part of verse number 13. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 13a. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Starting with verse number 9. And this is a story about the prophet Elijah. Starting at verse 9. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. We'll end right there. Let's pray. Father, your scripture always wants to speak to us. And your word says that when you send it out, it will not come back void. Your word is going to do some kind of work in all of our lives here today. Don't know what that is for each and every one of us individually. But Lord, you know what you want to do with us. You know how you want to change us. You know how you want the truth to just do that work inside us. Thank you for doing your work. Thank you for your word that does change each and every one of us. We look forward to the changes that are going to be made. We ask in the name of Jesus, amen. And you may be seated. Today we are going to conclude our sermon series on taming the tongue. And today's message is titled Silence, or Be Silent, actually. Today's message is going to be, I believe, very practical learning here. For the past 7 weeks, we have been learning how we, as Christians, need to speak and communicate to other people, both to believers and to unbelievers. Today we're going to learn another form of communication. This form of communication is called silence. It is the gift of not speaking, the ultimate way of taming the tongue. There is a quote in your bulletin. I always have quotes in the bulletin there on the inside on the right-hand column. And it says this, it's the last one down at the bottom. Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. We do not want to be that fool. And to not be that fool means that sometimes we just need to be silent. But have you ever noticed that there are just some people who always have to say something? Sometimes I believe there are some people who just love to hear themselves talk. And if these same people are Christians, then they need to understand and heed what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7. We know Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, there's a time for every season under heaven. And that verse 7 says this, there is a time to be silent and there is a time to speak. And wisdom is knowing the difference between the two. And Christians should always be in prayer for wisdom. Yes, there is a time to speak. A time to speak words of thanks, words of encouragement, words of prayer, words of praise, words of judgment. But there are also times when we as Christians just need to be quiet. We just need to be silent. So what does it mean to be silent? Well, let's go to Webster's Dictionary and see what Webster has to say. And this definition is in your bulletin. It's actually two definitions. The adjective silent, according to Webster, has these two definitions. Number one, making no utterance. And definition number two, free from sound or noise. And the Bible is very clear. There are many passages, and we're going to go through some of these, where the Bible is clear that there are times where we just need to be making no utterances. There are times when we just need to be quiet. So let's search the scriptures here this morning, and let's see when being silent is the right thing to do. In week number 2 in this series, I mentioned certain things that a Christian should not be speaking. And these were the 8 things that I mentioned. I mentioned number 1, we should not misuse the Lord's name. Number 2, not say obscenities. Number 3, foolish talk. Number 4, coarse joking. Number 5, empty words. Number 6, false testimony. Number 7, slander. And number 8, gossip. Instead of speaking these words, Christians should remain silent. Proverbs 4:24 warns us, it says this, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. So we've already covered that. So let's cover some new things. We've got some fill in the blanks in our bulletin. Let's go to fill in the blank number 1 first, and let's fill this out. There's actually 2 words to fill in there. Proverbs, I have the proverb listed over there on the left-hand side of your bulletin on the inside. So we can actually read the proverb and then try to fill in the blank with what the proverb's telling us. Proverbs 18:13 says this, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. So what are we to learn from that? Our fill in the blank would say this, be silent when you have not heard the entire story and have all the facts. Be silent when you have not heard all the story and you don't have all the facts. So what does this tell us about a person who has a response to someone when that someone hasn't even finished saying everything that they need to say? It tells us this. Tells us these 4 things about such a person. That person is impatient, they are uncaring, they are prideful, and they are self-deceived. Now, it's a quick story time with Pastor Mike. When I was working at McClung Companies, there was an individual, and I will not say his name because he may listen to this message one time, but he worked at McClung's, and he would ask you a question. And let's say my answer was going to be, this one, whatever this is, this was my answer that I was going to give him. When I got to about this point right here, he would stop me and he would start talking. This is my answer. He never gave me a chance to say the answer. Here's the answer. I got about this far into it and he would stop me and go with something else. So why does a person do something like this? And maybe you know of such a person in your life that'll just stop you before you're ever done saying what you need to say. It tells us, one, that that person is impatient. They do not have the time to hear everything that you have to say. They want your words to be completed before you ever have a chance to finish and complete them. It tells us this, number two, they are uncaring. They do not care to hear everything that you have to say. If they cared, they would listen to your whole statement. Tells us, number three, that they are prideful. They are prideful. They think their response that they interject will be far greater and far wiser than anything that you have to say. So they're going to interrupt you when you're midstream trying to tell them something, which means that they are four, that they are self-deceived, because the Bible says this, that when they do that, that their response is going to be folly and shame. So be silent when you do not have all the facts, or you have not heard the entire story and you don't have all the facts. And this also relates that when we are judging people, one of the criteria when we come to judging is we must have the evidence, and the evidence must be true. We cannot properly place judgment on another person until we have heard his or her entire testimony. We must be silent and allow that person to speak for us to make a righteous judgment, because the righteous judgment must be based on all the facts. So let's go to our second one. That was the first one. The second one, Proverbs 12:15. It tells us this: the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. So what does that tell us? Fill in the blank number two. Be silent when you should be listening. Be silent when you should be listening. Fools, according to the Bible, fools are talking when they should be listening. Another quick little story. We would have meetings over at McClung Company, and the owner would be speaking, and he would have the floor, and he would be given direction, and he would be given counsel to our company. But there would always be these one or two people who would be carrying on this side conversation while the owner was speaking. So what does this tell us about a person who is speaking when he or she should be listening? It tells us these three things. Number one, it tells us that that person is disrespectful. Only one person has the floor at a time. Allow that person to speak. Number two, it tells us that that person is haughty. H-A-U-G-H-T-Y. What does that mean? Extreme prideful. They believe that what they have to say in some kind of side conversation is far more important than what the speaker is saying. And it tells us number three. It tells us three that the person is foolish, because what does the Bible say about such people? It tells us that they are speaking when they should be listening to sound counsel. So be silent when you should be listening. Number three, fill in the blank from Proverbs 17:27. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. What do we learn from that? Be silent if your words are without knowledge. That proverb is actually written in the positive. But if we look at it in the negative, that proverb would say this: he who has no knowledge loves to talk. If you just take what the proverb says and reverse the words. He who has no knowledge loves to talk. Have you ever heard someone speak who has no clue what they are talking about, but they think they know everything that they're talking about? Example, you get on the phone and you call some company because you're having an issue with whatever. And they say this, the recording comes on and says this: in a few moments, you will be connected to a trained professional. So you talk to this trained professional, and you find out that you know more about their business than the trained professional knows about their business. But they attempt to deceive you with their many words and with their double talk. And you kind of have to question, this person is a trained professional? They are speaking without knowledge. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 6 tells us this: let no one deceive you with empty words. There are plenty of people who speak empty words. Let's not be one of those people. If you don't know what you're talking about, be silent. It's that simple. I try to never inject myself into a conversation that I am not familiar with the topic of discussion. Case in point, if Gail is standing with a few other ladies and they're talking about quilts, Mike, keep quiet, because you have no clue what you are talking about. Just let them alone and let them carry on their nice conversation about quilts, because all these ladies are knowledgeable about quilts, and Mike, you don't know anything about that at all. Right, dear? She said, amen, brother, is what she said. As Clint Eastwood says in one of his movies, man's got to know his limitations. If you don't know, be silent. It's that easy. Next one, fill in the blank number 4. Proverbs 14:23 says this: all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Now this one's going to be like our second fill in the blank. Be silent when you should be working. Be silent when you should be working. I wonder how much productivity is lost on a day-to-day basis by businesses because employees are talking or doing other things, some kind of electronic communication, cell phone, iPad, on the computer, doing things that they should not be doing when they should be working. Let's face it, electronic communication can be a very valuable tool. I use it quite often. But it can also be a time waster. The Bible tells us to choose wisely. If you are being paid to work, then you need to work. Be silent when you should be working. Fill in the blank number 5. Proverbs 27:2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Our fill in the blank would say this: be silent because Christians are not narcissists. Narcissism, narcissist. That's a new word in my vocabulary. It's come into being within like the last 2 years. I never knew what a narcissist was. A narcissist is a person who thinks all about themselves. It's all about me. It's all about me. Have you ever engaged in a conversation with someone and all they can talk about is themselves? That's all they ever talk about. You get into a conversation and they start carrying on. Well, I did this and I did that. And because I did this and because I did that, they're getting the impression that they are so much better than you. Of course they are, because they are narcissists. You can just sense that narcissism just flowing right off of their lips. To them, it's all about I. It's all about self. It's all about I. And I don't consider it coincidental that the letter I is right smack dab in the middle of the word pride, and it's right smack dab in the middle of the word sin. That's not the way Christians do it. Christians, we walk and we speak with humility. We must give God the praise first and foremost. And it is quite okay to compliment others for a job well done or whatever it may be. But the Bible tells us very clearly we must remain silent and not brag about our own achievements. And that leads us to our sixth and final fill in the blank here this morning. And this comes from Psalm 46:10. Such a familiar psalm verse to us. It says this: be silent and know that I am God. And some translations will say, be still and know that I am God. So what do we learn from that? Be silent and listen for the voice of God. Be silent and listen for the voice of God. God desires to talk to each and every one of us. And how does he do that? Well, he could use an audible voice, I guess, if he wanted to. But most of the time, he's going to communicate to us through his Holy Spirit, through the reading and meditation of his word. His spirit, the Holy Spirit that dwells inside us, wants to illuminate us, wants to guide us, and wants to direct us in a path of righteousness and give us the answers to the questions that we may have. But too many times, we as Christians are too busy doing all the talking. We can never stay still and stay silent long enough to allow the Spirit of God to do some of the talking, where we can do some of the listening. I'm sure we all get in a car and drive somewhere. Someday, here's just a suggestion. Someday when you're driving your car, can you turn off the radio, turn off the tape player, turn off the CD, turn off everything, turn off that conversation with the people in your car, and just ask the Spirit of God to speak to you? In our scripture reading from today, from 1 Kings, the prophet Elijah was expecting an encounter with the Lord. But the Lord was not in the great and powerful winds. And the Lord was not in the earthquake. And the Lord was not in the fire. Where was the Lord? He was in the gentle whisper. And if that's the way the Lord wants to speak to us, in a gentle whisper, we will never hear him if we are doing all the talking. Whispers can only be heard when we are silent. James chapter 1, verse 19 says this: my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That is great advice. I heard somebody say this once, and it's worth repeating. If God wanted us to talk more and listen less, he would have given us all two mouths and just one ear. But that's not the way he designed us. He designed us with just one mouth and two ears. Many times, we can successfully tame the tongue by not ever using it. ever. We need to be silent when we have not heard the entire story and have all the facts. We need to be silent when we should be listening. We need to be silent if our words are without knowledge. We need to be silent when we should be working. We need to be silent because Christians are not narcissists. And we need to be silent so we can listen and hear the voice, the whisper of God. That's it for taming the tongue. Next week, we're going to move on to something new and exciting. Let's pray.